Welcome to A Course in Miracles. In any spiritual journey, the journey is only necessary because one does not find oneself already at home. A journey is only necessary when you have some place to go. A change is called for, therefore the journey. This is what a journey is. We have all come here under the idea of a spiritual journey. But then nobody here is brand new to Course in Miracles, so I can break this to you gently. But anyway, though, Course in Miracles is not spiritual. It's not a spiritual book.
I can believe that. Seems like everything we're doing is to a tool to get us to be spiritual.
Yes, just like your car is not the journey or the destination. You spend all your time in it trying to get somewhere, but it's not where you're trying to get, and yet that's where you spend your time. Course in Miracles is a tool. It's just another
tool
or sign.
Yeah. I mean, like to say, there's a thousand mystery schools. Mm-hmm. It's one of the tools.
Like it says, it's just one of a thousand, just another one. I like it. I think it's direct. I think it's powerful. But nonetheless, no journey is required unless you have some change, some place to go. Now, beautifully, A Course in Miracles says you are on a journey without distance. What? I never heard that phrase before. A journey without distance. That's what it describes. But nonetheless, a journey. Because the distance we have made, we believe in so firmly. The place where we are, which is not at home, the place where we are, which is not our destination, the place where we are, which does not fit with our appetite to be someplace else. The place where we are, which is not fulfilling love, is the body. The body. So that's our word for tonight.
Body.
Body. The body. The body. With this idea that there's a journey, in a spiritual journey we make from material to, material, physical, to spiritual. A spiritual journey means that you're not already fully aware of your endpoint, of your spirit. Duh, right? It's not so obvious. In fact, there's a lot of teachings that say your body is your spirit perfectly, just the way it is. Don't change anything. Which is absolutely half true. Absolutely half true. So, A Course in Miracles, the half that's not true has become a block to the awareness of love in your existence. The body. The body. We'll spend a few minutes now, if you would. When we do these meditations, remember, it's just for tonight. We're not holding you to your idea of body from yesterday or for tomorrow. It's just what occurs to you tonight in this room now. Give yourself the gift of allowing yourself to explore this idea of body fresh. Do you have a body, or does the body have you? Who's in charge? Does the body speak first, and then you decide what it means? That ever happen? What is the body? What is your body? What is that? Do you use your body? Do you use it? Are there times that it seems that whatever made the body uses you? And finally, if you would, come up with a word or a phrase for tonight, only for tonight, that fits to answer what is your body to you. David, what is that sack of bones? You walk in
there.
What is that?
My puppet.
Your puppet?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I get the control, move around.
Your puppet. And then when you control it, then it moves and does and it emotes and shows and talks and.
Yeah, it does all the stuff I want, and then it turns around and does it back to me.
Yeah. It talks to you too.
Comes both directions, kind of like.
Uh-huh.
Does control a lot what we do.
It speaks loudly and quickly, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yep. Getting to where I can catch it.
Uh-huh.
But yeah.
Good. Pump
something
it.
I control, it's not me, but boy, I'm attached to it.
Yeah. And often, obviously, the puppeteer. Right? Yeah. Obviously. A lot of the time. Clearly.
Yeah.
It's good. It's good. John Paul, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What is this?
I believe it's what interprets what I call life.
The medium between you and life. It interprets it.
Yeah.
Interesting. Tells you if it's hot, it's cold.
What to think, what to believe,
Oh, right, yeah, the brain, part of the body.
That's part of the
big
body.
Big filter, all comes through that.
And tells me that there is something outside itself. I've got no means to contrast that.
Nothing.
Because I can only... this brain is the one that's telling me.
Oh, yeah. It's got that idea.
It's saying, this is happening, this is real, this is... I'm a body, I'm solid. Mm. I need to eat, I need to be warm.
Mm.
I need to shower.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really know if any of that is... I don't have another voice that says, hey.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah, that's not okay.
And it sends out the messenger. It sends out the messenger with the message, there is something even beyond me.
Mm-hmm.
And then it decides what the messenger comes back, what it means, what it says. Here's what I found. That's interesting. Yeah. Interpreter. Interesting. Walt?
It's a means to express emotions. And to hold emotions, especially to hold emotions.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Sometimes I think it's like a glove that I can put on to experience something. Not a glove, but something that I need to peer into some space that, to experience that, whatever it is.
When you put your hand to a glove, you can feel the commitment to that. The commitment of putting the glove on.
Mm-hmm.
Very similar to emotions. Emotions are a commitment. they show you what you really believe. Emotions have a huge quality of faith to them. Because things you don't care about and don't believe, you have no emotions around. It's just so much concepts and words. But when it's your pet, your car, your clothes, your salary, your bank account, your social security number I found. What? Where? It's written on the calendar out there. The whole thing. And your name. What? It's emotion. It's different than John Paul's social security number. We don't know him yet. We care a little bit. He's made it to the meeting, but... those emotions are all these gradients of what you own. And there's a commitment to them. So I like that a lot. The glove thing is really interesting.
Well, I mean, and that's one way I can describe what a body is. You know, it's sort of like I guess in Fukushima they use these robots to go down into when the part has been damaged.
Mm-hmm.
And so the body, so I think of my body sometimes as like this robot that goes into this wherever we are to look around and
nice.
And without the body, this wouldn't be.
Yeah. Yeah, the robot sees, it records, there's some feedback that you get that from these body senses. Yeah, that's fascinating, isn't it? Yeah, cool. Marcia, what is that? What are you doing? What is this thing? God, you comb its hair and you drive it around and you moisturize it and you water it.
It feels like a trap right now.
Yeah?
It just feels like a weight, you know, something that's tying me to limitations.
Aha, yes. Yes, there we go.
And then identity, as I look at this body... as I get older, I think, does that mean my identity's changed because this body has changed? Am I no longer the same person I was when I was 20?
And the trap just grew a new tooth on its hold.
Yeah.
Now the body... instead of you fixing the body into an identity, it's fixing you with an identity. I love that little reflection. Yeah. A cost to all the freedom and all the promises through the 20s and the 30s. How interesting is that? Yeah. Yeah. So deeply drunk on the identity building from the 20s and 30s, 80s, 40s too. So deeply owning it. Now it might own you a bit. Especially if there's a family or children or a career or an expertise, et cetera, et cetera. Yes, interesting cycle there. You have a few moments to figure out what your body is. Thank you very much.
I've been trying to figure that one out for a long time.
Good, I did. Michaeline.
Well, a communication center is what I came up with, and it depends on what mind I'm kind of fine. In my right mind, it's definitely a communication vehicle.
Mm.
If I'm in my ego mind,
yes,
it's got a whole different program, and it's but it's definitely communicates to me what I'm thinking, and so when I become aware of what thoughts I'm thinking, if I shift, it's definitely a communication tool either way.
Well, it's like what John Paul said, kind of a sensor. You could determine what's going on in life by this body has abilities to give you feedback. Even, as Paul said, emotions that can't be missed.
Right.
Strong indicators that might even keep you up at night worrying or really excited or what have you. But all that, 'cause the body has these abilities to communicate.
And a purveyor of light. I mean, okay. You know, ghosts, it's not just one-dimensional.
Indeed, at best, right, in good communication, communication mm-hmm. is giving mm-hmm. and receiving. Mm-hmm. What else is giving and receiving in our Course in Miracles study? What else we call giving and receiving in our Course in Miracles study? The circle we've drawn so many times.
Miracle.
Love. As you give, as now you give, you receive. As you give, you receive. When you give, as much as you give, however you want to define it, but as is critical here. As you give, you receive. It is the law of love in this book. It's also a law of mind for a very good reason. Yes. It's also a law of spirit for a very good reason.
It's kind of repeated in different ways all through the book when we're just looking at it going, mm-hmm. Stephen, you know, this is kind of like, isn't that that give-receive thing? It's always these two thing that goes back and forth. But, you know, and it's just this process in two people because you have to, can't get nowhere without the other person. Mm-hmm. Everybody is mm-hmm. you, so mm-hmm. if you're by yourself, you can't give and receive.
Yeah.
So you got to find something to do with
it. Turns out communication, good communication now. You know, good communication.
That's what the book said, the body's for, communicating, period.
Yeah, now it is, with the Holy Spirit. Yeah. When you listen to your Holy Spirit now, the translation, the interpretation of everything, using your body, which includes time and space, the world, with the Holy Spirit's guidance, is useful. It's a good thing. With the ego in charge, it can really suck. Really hurt and just be, why am I doing this? Prison. This is a prison. It's a trap. Absolutely. No doubt about it. Yeah, but communication is giving and receiving, and that's also the law of love. So at best, it's really, really great. It's a good, useful, and in fact, it's a reflection of love. Communication.
Yeah, and when it's love for love.
Yes, that's right.
Love for love.
Your love communicates with love.
Yeah. So all these things it talks about, it's like it's really trying to say love for love, mm-hmm. but we don't get it. We haven't got that yet. So we're using other words until we finally get that part.
And a lot of times the old vestigial emotions that block us from love for love. Mm-hmm. Instead, it's a little bit of hate for love. Or a little bit of love to avoid hate, which leads into chaos, and that's what the special relationship is.
Yeah.
Trying to get love, but using the concept of separation or of defense. This is the special relationship, the ego's way of being together. It's not quite the union that we would like. Not quite the alignment that love would have it be. Communication, awesome. Yes. Meg, what is your body? I mean, what is it? What are you doing with that?
It's just something that's here.
Yeah, here.
You know, I'm not really sure what I'm doing. I don't feel like I'm in my body sometimes, but...
Mm-hmm.
I know it's there.
But it sure is here.
And I have to take care, yeah.
Yeah. It fits and reflects and interacts and is here. In fact, it comes from here. In fact, every 7 years, it seems to dissolve and take those hot dogs and the kale and whatever else you eat and makes itself again and again and again. Every 7 years, pretty much everything. Your thigh muscles every 45 days.
Oh.
Whoa! You are what you eat is literally true. So how much of that are you really? Were you? 7 years? None of it, really. A couple of cells. A handful of cells. Last. Otherwise, none of you is the same as you were. So, but it's here. I love it. It's absolutely, there's it. Clearly, the body is here. It's good. For me, what came to me is my hiding place.
Oh, yeah.
This is my hiding place. I am hidden right here. Tucked in. out of sight. Mm-hmm. In plain view and out of sight in my body. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's dig in on some of this. Turn to page 398 in the text, chapter 19, section 1, page 398 in the text. And, you know, we're gonna jump into paragraph 4. I wonder if we have time. Meg, you want to read for us?
Number 4?
Yeah, we're number 4, please.
Do not overlook our earlier statement that faithlessness leads straight to illusions. For faithlessness is the perception of a brother as a body, and the body cannot be used for purposes of union. If, then, you see your brother as a body, you have established a condition in which uniting with him becomes impossible. Your faithlessness to him has separated you from him and kept you both apart from being healed. Your faithlessness has thus opposed the Holy Spirit's purpose and brought illusions centered on the body to stand between you. And the body will seem to be sick, for you have made of it an enemy of healing and the opposite of truth. I have always had trouble with why do I see people as bodies?
Yeah. It's the language of here. Your body is here. Yeah. Well, it speaks the language of here.
Yeah.
Yeah, you bet. Yeah. Okay, there's tons in here. Why don't we start with, keep your finger here, okay? And flip to workbook page 425. And let's run through this as a reminder. Workbook page 425. Hopefully when you get there you can launch in.
Okay. The body is a fence the Son of God imagines he has built to separate parts of his self from other parts.
And that separate it's like this
parts.
Verb, it's like this ability to accomplish something. In other words, to go somewhere on a journey, package yourself in a car. Please continue.
Okay. It is within this fence he thinks he lives, to die as it decays and crumbles. For within this fence he thinks that he is safe from love. Identifying with his safety, he regards himself as what his safety is. How else could he be certain he remains within the body, keeping love outside?
Black and white. Marcia.
The body will not stay. Yet this he sees as double safety. For the Son of God's impermanence is proof his fences work and do the task his mind assigns to them. For if his oneness still remained untouched, who could attack and who could be attacked? Who could be victor? Who could be his prey? Who could be victim? Who the murderer? And if he did not die, what proof is there that God's eternal Son can be destroyed?
The body will not stay. Short sentence. Pointing toward a spiritual reality. Comfortably announcing with authority. But the spiritual ego has a use for that. Sentence 2. Yet this he sees as double safety. Mm-hmm. For the Son of God's impermanence is proof that his separation is true. Yeah, I'm not really alive. I'm not really a spirit. I'm just a body that lives so long and then dies and it's over. Over! Slippery slope, this whole body. Addiction.
Well, the body is a dream.
like other dreams, it sometimes seems to picture happiness, but can quite suddenly revert to fear where every dream is born. For only love creates in truth, and truth can never fear. Made to be fearful, must the body serve the purpose given it? But we can change the purpose that the body will obey by changing what we think that it is for.
There's key. There's the word, now, think. It's the fourth largest used term in the entire book.
Yeah.
Think, thought. It's the number four. Because mind, I think it's five and mind is four. So really, wow. Because in mind is where you live. You don't actually live in your body, you live in what your mind comes up from, what your body's saying, or feeling, or forcing you to feel, or showing you. And then you interpret with your mind, and up comes your life. So, your life is going to be your next thought. That will be your life. So body serves what you think. As you think it, so it is.
Yeah. I mean, can we certify that anything exists without our brain, without our mind? Mm-hmm. No. So we know that our mind exists, but we don't know if anything else is really there.
Yeah.
Our mind is making it up as it goes along.
It's a big... Yeah, the big gap. The big
Even filter. Science is getting the
yeah big filter
really
there.
Curious
yeah,
one.
Yes.
Oh yeah. We don't know what the reality is.
Yeah.
Something's
if,
there.
If it's there.
Yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't have to be there. You just have to think it's there, and then it's all the proof you got.
Yeah.
So true. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very relative, so to speak. Oh yeah. But also very freeing. Very freeing when you say, "Well, the body will not stay." When it comes from an authority like this, and it says, look, I'm here to tell you, says Jesus, if you can buy up on that whole concept, that there is a being that's gone beyond the body and hanging around long enough to write it down for you. I'll tell you what, I got some ideas for you for your freedom. I got some ideas for you to get beyond the limit that you got so drunk on. I was drunk on it too. Drunk on it. But you know what? I was always one thought away from liberation, ascension even. And that thought, and there's only one mind, okay? Right? Only one mind? That part of your mind we call Jesus in this book. The part of your mind that went ahead and got off of the material drunkenness, got out of the addiction to the limit, and chose to identify fully with Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit's another made-up character. But it stands for the part of your mind that's connected to one, to oneness, to the truth. So we just use the term Holy Spirit. That is the connection to oneness in this book. Okay. John Paul? Four there. Yeah.
Number five, yeah?
I think it's four.
Oh, four. The body is the means by which God's Son returns to sanity. It was made to fence him into hell without escape, yet has the goal of heaven been exchanged for the pursuit of hell.
Mm-hmm.
The Son of God extends his hand to reach his brother and to help him walk along the road with him. Now is the body holy. Now it serves to heal the mind that it was made to kill.
A use now for the precise method that you chose to block yourself from love will now be used to lead you back to love. In other words, the same car we use to get away from truth, we can drive back to truth.
Same path.
Same path, exactly. That's the kindest, gentlest, and probably the quickest way. To go the same path, trace the same... Absolutely. Yeah. It doesn't have to be that way, but by God, it's probably the gentlest way to go at the same time.
Yes.
Yes. In fact, hold your finger there now. Now I'm using two of your fingers here, but you've got 10, so don't get me. So hang in there. And flip to page 151
in
the text. 151. Let's just read a little more on what we just read, what John Paul just read. 151 in the text, paragraph 3. David, you ready?
Mm-hmm. If you use the body for a tap, it is harmful to you. If you use it only to reach the minds of those who believe they are bodies and teach them through the body that this is not so, you will understand the power of the mind that is in you.
Michaeline's communication is really in full swing now.
Yeah, that's what
I asked you in the meditation, do you use your body? Good. Please continue.
If you use the body for this and only for this, you cannot use it for attack. In the service of uniting, it becomes a beautiful lesson in communication, which has value until communion is.
Oneness, communion is, and then what need is our communication? For oneness is instantaneous being everywhere. Even as you grow and explore and do whatever it is you would do, under communion, there is no delay in transfer of communication. Oneness is vibrating sameness.
Yeah, you're not twice removed.
Not twice
you're
removed.
Not once removed, you're not twice removed.
Good.
You're zero removed.
Beautifully. Beautifully said. Please continue.
This is God's way of making unlimited what you have limited. The Holy Spirit does not see the body as you do, because He knows the only reality of anything is the service it renders God on behalf of the function He gives it.
Yes. Did you know that truth is invisible?
Yeah, it's all invisible.
It's invisible.
I just watched The Little Prince.
Yeah. Is truth invisible in The Little Prince?
No, you see with the heart.
You see with the heart?
Not with
the eyes. Yeah. The invisible. So much more powerful than what the eyes could show. Would the heart know? Yes. Like with any of the qualities of truth, the qualities of love, like trust. Trust is actually invisible. Honesty. It's really, you can't see honesty, really. I mean, you can kind of symbolize, but tolerance, is it true? It's invisible. Gentleness, open-mindedness, generosity, defenselessness. This is not even defense considered. That's invisible, really.
Yeah.
Patience?
Yeah, all invisible. I'm just reading about that, and it's like, whoa.
Yeah, isn't that powerful? Yeah.
So you have to kind of, the results. So when something happens, you get some miracle, whatever you get, you have to look for the result.
Yes.
How it affects you, that's how you know.
Yeah.
That's kind of, it's really trippy.
Yeah, and so that's why, as you get in contact, as you awaken,
mm-hmm.
the results are instantaneous, because as you give, you receive in that moment. There's no waiting anymore.
Yeah.
There's no waiting to see what
happens. Giving and receiving becomes like one thing.
Yes, yes. It's instantaneous. For the now is the only time. It's true, is the now. You don't live tomorrow. You don't even live 5 minutes from now.
Yeah, you're in the moment.
Yeah. Total. Turns out you always are.
Yep.
This is where your life is lived.
There's no past and future.
It really isn't. It never was. It's a story that there's a past and future. So reality, as in this sentence, the only reality from the perspective of God, and all God is it's another word for truth, or what is when your body is used to communicate these aspects of love, of truth. That's the high communication. And it's actually invisible. Yeah. Very freeing to me. Okay, good. Now back to page 425 in the workbook.
Paragraph 5.
You will identify what you think will make you safe. Whatever it may be, you will believe that it's one with you. Your safety lies in truth, not in lies. Love is your safety. Fear does not exist. Identify with love, and you are safe. Identify with love, and you are home. Identify with love and find your true self. That's our journey. It's an identity shift. And being addicted to the body is a great way not to know. Being fully reliant on the body for your life, for your being, for your happiness, is a great way not to know God, love, truth, freedom, liberation. It's the perfect way to be limited, as Marcia is explaining. Or, as Andrew says, is the perfect way to be hidden. The body, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we can spend all night on that page. But let's go back to page 398 in the text. Let's look at paragraph 4 again. It says, do not overlook our earlier statement that faithlessness leads straight to illusions. You guys remember the discussion the Course in Miracles does this with words. It takes a concept like guilt. And, you know, you got guilt and you got not guilty. And then Course in Miracles says, hey, how about guiltlessness? Which means no guilt even true or possible. The Course does that. It's a great way to get out of separate, you know, the duality of guilt and not guilt. Beautiful. Love that teaching tool. Here we are again with faith. It's not that you don't have faith. And what's another word for faith is trust. Is acting out your trust is what faith is. It's not like you're not trusting. Faithlessness is no ability to even trust. You are on your own, and that's where you live, alone.
In your body.
And that's the truth. Of course, calls that faithlessness in the message. In spirit. Faithlessness, in other words, denial, perfect denial, real denial, of lesson 97, which is, I am spirit. Lesson 97, all day long. Boy, you better crack your knuckles before you get there, if it's going to do any good. Okay? So, do not overlook the earlier statement that faithlessness leads straight to illusions. It would have to be, because faith means trust, and in our world, you know, if you've got a good guide, it's trust in the truth. We're going toward truth. You need faith because you don't know it, but you have faith because you're acting on it. That's proof for you that you're actually following your belief in such things as, well, honesty, patience, such things as sharing as the goal, and not what you share, but just the sharing itself. Things like that are invisible, but wow, the experience that Walt's talking about, the value now of Mike Eileen's communication now, of something like sharing, the body is a great tool to experience that. Faithlessness means none of that. I'll have none of that. I am too vulnerable. I can be harmed. So I must defend. That's faithlessness in the ultimate trust that we learn about in the Manual for Teachers. So there you go. You have to have illusions now in order to have all that make sense. I'm a body. I'm getting older. Therefore, that my identity is also becoming an old person instead of a young person. I have these physical vulnerabilities that I need. You know, this is now me, and that will limit my happiness. All that is illusory. But it works great as long as you keep the faith out of it. Mm-hmm. Keep the big trust out of it. You can have all your body dreams as you wish. And they'll come true. Ah, you'll feel it all the way. Okay? For faithlessness is the perception of a brother as a body. Remember Course in Miracles? It does brother as the teaching tool. We're talking about you. There's only you. There's only one extension of God. But there's a bit much to take in. So you know what we're going to do? Since you're so addicted on separation, we're going to use things like brother. We're going to use things like Jesus. We're going to use things like God. We're going to use things like Holy Spirit. All these supposedly other separate terms. There's still only one. In truth. But you're not in truth, are you? You know where it talks about that? Let's go to page 519 real quick. There's so few people here, we can actually play a little more maybe. Go to 519 and let's just see where it talks about that. I think maybe you're up to bad again, and let's just skip to paragraph 5 on 519.
Since you believe that you are separate, heaven presents itself to you as separate too. Not that it is in truth, but that the link that has been given you to join the truth may reach to you through what you understand. Father and Son and Holy Spirit are as one, as all of your brothers join as one in truth. Christ and his Father never have been separate, and Christ abides within your understanding, in the part of you that shares his Father's will. The Holy Spirit links the other part, the tiny mad desire to be separate, different, and special.
You know, bodies are separate, bodies are different, aren't they all different, and they're special.
Through the Christ, to make the oneness clear to what is really one.
Is really one, yes.
In this world, this is not understood, but it can be taught.
Beautiful. I'm glad you read that paragraph. It's for you. In this world, it cannot be understood because of our keen addiction to the world. And the proof of separation is each time you open your eyes. It's not quite understood. However, as John Paul said, different thoughts can enter the mind, and even the body's brain can read and hold an idea that there's more than my body. Absolutely, that's right. That's right. There's still another door. Not completely lost. Not completely lost. Not completely losable. Because, as it says in this paragraph, it's all really one. It's really never been a separation. Oh, thank goodness. Yes. Good, good. Okay, back to page 398. Don't overlook our earlier statement that faithlessness leads straight to illusions. For faithlessness is the perception of a brother as a body, and the body cannot be used for purposes of union. Now, it's actually that we just read on page 425, the body is used as a block. It's a fence, the perfect division between me and you. is right at the edge of my skin. We can get it really close. But you know what? We always know where we are. Physically. We try to go mentally. We try to use the body as a symbol to go beyond. But boy, it's the perfect way to not. Perfect way to not. I think we can turn back. We just read this a little while ago. We talked about this last week a little bit, too. Okay. Okay, so when you perceive your brother as a body, there is a belief that is being answered by your perception and your judgment, and we allow the brother to be a body, complete entity. Course is calling that faithlessness, but of course, you're participating. You've got this idea of Nicolene versus Marcia. And okay. So check out page 368. Keep your finger there now. Back to page 368. Let's just pick up two paragraphs. Page 368. Start with paragraph 3. And I think, Michaeline, are you there?
Yeah. A situation is a relationship, being the joining of thoughts.
Okay, now I want to remind you that where we were back then is we were getting out of the big discussion we had in chapter 16 of special relationships that is really, you know, about relationships and the competition between two people who say they love each other, you know, which has got an asterisk now because you've been together for more than a year. But Course in Miracles. I love you, but when you do that, it's but. Yeah. Course in Miracles says, well, you know, this relationship concept is with you all the time. So please reread that first sentence now.
A situation is a relationship, being the joining of thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
If problems are perceived, it is because the thoughts are judged to be in conflict.
Mm-hmm.
But, I got that.
Yeah, good.
But, if the goal is truth, this is impossible. Some idea of bodies must have entered, for minds cannot attack. The thought of bodies is the sign of faithlessness.
See, we moved away from the freedom of things like, I love you, I trust you, I'm tolerant of you because it's you. I have no defense against you. I'm grateful for you.
Right.
All of that is blocked when the ideas of the solid, more solid idea, visible idea of what bodies can do comes into the forefront. Isn't it amazing it's in this book?
Mm-hmm.
It busts you when you're falling off of the freedom program, the spiritual program, falling off of the actually joining in union idea. And that falls away, then that sentence plays, and the body
takes
the forefront.
That's the expectation. That's where the expectation of from the other person.
Bingo! Thank you. Exactly.
Yeah.
Reread that sentence for us. Well said.
The thought of bodies is the sign of faithlessness.
Mm-hmm.
For bodies cannot solve anything.
Mm-hmm.
It is their intrusion on the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
An error in your thoughts about the situation,
mm-hmm.
which then becomes the justification for your lack of faith.
Mm-hmm.
You will make this error, but be not at all concerned with that. The error does not matter. Oh, this feels good.
Mm-hmm.
Faithlessness brought to faith mm-hmm. will never interfere with truth.
Mm-hmm.
But faithlessness used against truth will always destroy faith.
Hold on to that sentence for a second. Take a breath.
Okay.
And it's like fine print, isn't it? Wait a minute. Isn't one of these things more powerful than the other? Wait, where's the goodness? Where's my guarantee of happiness when it says the error doesn't matter? I like that. That sounds like I've got a guarantee from heaven, from God's insurance, that the error doesn't matter. It's good. And it says that elsewhere in the book. Oh, thank goodness. Then the next sentence is like fine print. Hey, Julie. Faithlessness brought to faith. In other words, the perfect denial brought to the call of truth. Faith is a call to truth. It's a call of truth. It's easy to walk in faith when you're doing it because it's toward light. You get something good for it. I'm all in. We talked about that last week. Mm-hmm. Faithlessness brought to faith will never interfere with truth. Truth doesn't change. Good. Oh, thank God. That's a good promise. I like it. Here comes some fine print. But faithlessness used against truth, record scratch, will always destroy faith.
And that's judgment, isn't it?
Yes. Judgment is very personal. Judgment is a cooperation between your mind and your brain. And then it becomes your personal truth. Slippery slope. Judgment. Faithlessness used against truth will always destroy faith. Mm-hmm. That's just like fine print. And it's really important. Course in Miracles does not dodge this. This is part of the evidence of how powerful your mind is and how your life comes from your thoughts. This is part of the evidence that this is, of course, is true, will always be that way. You will get from your thoughts what the parents of your thoughts would have you get. You will get from your thoughts what the parent of your thought would have you get. It's simple math that way. Julie, what's miracle principle 7? Way up front.
Can't do that by memory.
This is so up front. It's on page 3. The book has barely said anything. And yet, there's some fine print. Mm-hmm. That's why I like A Course in Miracles. You know, that's right. I knew I had to take, I had to wake up pretty quick if I was going to read this book. Yes. What is it?
Miracles are everyone's right.
Yay, that's good news. I like it. Good.
But,
uh-oh.
Purification is necessary first.
But purification is necessary first. Where's the airy-fairy good news? Where I just want love. Don't you just want to start with love? That's why that's in there. Because Course in Miracles is pretty radical, you know? It really calls you to wake up and take your part. And as this sentence we just read, your part is to let go of the blocks that you willfully hold to love. Let them go. You don't have to kill them. You don't have to come up with the alternative. You just have to learn how it is you block the light. Mm-hmm. How you...
And if it's you a really, whisper what? Away.
Yes.
It's a whisper.
It's a one thought away. That's how close. Now, as the book beautifully says, way up front, the very power that you would hope to be as a child of God, as an extension of God, the very power you would hope and trust is yours. Thank you very much. After all, haven't I inherited, you know, God in some way? Doesn't God love me entirely?
Mm-hmm.
No?
Absolutely.
It says so. All sorts of things say so. For that to be true, you will never be told what to do. You will never be corrected. You will never be changed from the outside. What?
You won't be punished.
You won't be punished. but you also will be helped.
Right.
What? I want to be helped. I need help. I need help. No. You see, the problem is, if we do anything against your direct will, you're no longer powerful, and you're not free. You're not even...
And that's where open-mindedness comes in, isn't it?
Yes. You have to have an open mind. Closed mind says, I know.
Right.
I already know. I just need to try harder. That's a closed mind. Even though it's failed for the last 52 years. I just haven't tried hard enough. I know what to do. Mm-hmm. That's closed minded. Not free. You're limiting.
The last sentence has something to say to you.
I know. Just didn't want to miss this sentence. Okay, what is it?
If you lack faith, ask that it be restored where it was lost, and seek not to have it made up to you elsewhere, as if you had been unjustly deprived of it.
Woo, that's personal. Ask. Now, this requires some trust to say that it would just come. That there's some way that I could see. Yeah, that's good. 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 Okay, here's some more fine print. Paragraph 4. Marcia?
Are we on 368?
We're on 368.
Yes. Paragraph 4. Okay. Yep. Only what you have not given can be lacking in any situation.
Period. Full stop. Course in Miracles in a sentence. I mean, after all, does it say that you are the Christ? I mean, Christ is this extension of God. Right? It's not Jesus' last name. It's the state that he achieved, that part of the mind achieved. That's Christ. So there's a Michaeline Christ, an Andrew Christ, John Paul Christ, David Christ, Alt Christ, Julie Christ, Faith Christ, Marcia Christ. Which just means an awakened state. Aware of the truth. And then now abiding as truth. Yeah. Only what you have not given can be lacking. Oh, it just says it all. You could write the whole book from that. Mm-hmm. Very short sentence that pretty much says, well, here's what's up. Please continue.
But remember this, the goal of holiness was set for your relationship and not by you. You did not set it because holiness cannot be seen except through faith. And your relationship was not holy because your faith in your brother was so limited and little.
So limited and so little, mostly because the body was the primary joining factor of the relationship. Mostly that was the block to your freedom in the relationship. Why it was not a holy relationship, it was an unholy relationship. Because the competition between bodies and what bodies do and need and expect and et cetera, et cetera. So get the invisible is in here. Remember, we say the truth is invisible. Mm-hmm. The holy relationship is a relationship among the parts of you that are invisible, but nonetheless the most valuable. That's where a holy relationship is engaged. So please repeat that sentence for us and then continue.
You did not set it because holiness cannot be seen except through faith, and your relationship was not holy because your faith in your brother was so limited and little.
Yes.
Your faith must grow to meet the goal that has been set. The goal's reality will call this forth, for you will see that peace and faith will not come separately. What situation can you be in without faith and remain faithful to your brother?
Yeah. The Course teaches that the tool, the method, that's probably the easiest or the most graceful, is to allow yourself to see in your brother the holiness. To see in Meg here. Meg, despite the limit of body that she walked in the door with, is indeed... Can we all give that to her? Can we give her her holy identity, her spiritual presence? Is it there? Mm-hmm. Even though it's like captured in this body package. Can we allow this awareness in our minds now? I don't know what she's going to do. But I'm calling on my mind to see the spiritual presence component there. There it is. There it is. That's what it looks like even.
It's the word namaste.
That's namaste. Mm-hmm. Now, the reflection of namaste, the reflection comes back. Because as much as I give it to her, it's harder now for me to escape it for me. Because mm-hmm. aren't Ming and I a lot more alike than we're dissimilar? Yes. Aren't we closer to the same than we're different? And the more you look, especially with the science, the more you look, the more you see the exact same thing. Can't escape that. So that's why it's kind of a graceful way to make the big identity change that we've read about, page 425. Is to reach out and see it in your brother first. Much more gentle way to go. And really convincing when the message comes back home. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Okay. Okay, since we're on a roll of jumping around... Okay, we're doing the body, Julie.
Back on that, huh?
Yeah, we're back on that. Yep. Yeah, because that's what gets sick, you know, and just full focus of healing. We heal the body most things that we're trying to. Yeah. So, Julie, what's your body? What is your body? What is that? You call it around, you look in the mirror, and you point at you, and I say Julie, and you turn your head. That's what happens. That was our meditation. Mm. What is that thing? What is? I mean, just a word or a phrase if it comes to you. I'll give you a little time if you want.
Might need a minute.
You know, but what to you? What is it? I mean, how does it serve? And what did you count on it for? I mean, how does it work? What is your body? Mm. Yeah, yeah. Good little ponder, just a minute. Okay, so let's go to page. I think it's 15. We do a little body busting. 14 or 15.
I'm sorry, what page was that?
15
in the text,
I think. Yeah. Yeah, it is, of course. 15. And it's distortions of miracle impulses. Let's read a couple paragraphs of this. We'll just read three paragraphs. Walt, I think you're up.
Mm-hmm. Your distorted perceptions produce a dense cover over miracle impulses, making it hard for them to reach your own awareness. The confusion of miracle impulses with physical impulses is a major perceptual distortion.
And when we talk about physical impulses, it has to include the brain, and the motions are captured in the brain. Where the body feels something, it actually feels what the brain sent. Adrenaline, fear, laughter, excitement, all the body doesn't do any of those. The body doesn't create any of those.
The mind does.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And the brain answers the call. The answer, it just follows what it's told to do. Need to be afraid. What does that feel like? It feels like that. Grab your gut. It was getting stronger. Uh-oh. This is a real fear. I know it because my body's telling me. Now you're listening to your body. Mm-hmm. And the circle continues and you get more worried because your body feels like it's worried. But did you realize it started with the thought mm-hmm. of loss? And then the body like that, right? So that's a physical impulse, which is a great way to block a miracle impulse. Now, even the thought of fear. That started it all. That started the worry that eventually led to the divorce, that led to the cancer, led to a really shitty life. Okay, let's say it got really bad. Let's say it got really bad. And the body just got worse. And it all started with the thought of fear, right? That's what we're saying? Well, this book, as we've talked about before, fear. And this is a quote. Fear is a call for
love.
Love. in an unconscious recognition of what has been denied. Fear is a call for love in an unconscious recognition of that the love that's been denied. In other words, I don't feel loved. In fact, I feel love is not present. Even that's why I feel fear. Now I feel fear. Fear is simply a term that says love not present. I wish I had it. And the more afraid you are, the further from love you feel. When you're in love and hugs and abundance and giving and receiving, there's no fear. In fact, it's really comfortable. Mm-hmm. Oh, go on forever. Opposite of fear. Love. That's not there. See, there is really no fear. There's only a call for love. So let's talk miracle impulse. The miracle impulse is also a call for love. It's a call for truth. It's a call for spirit versus the limit of the physical. A miracle is a shift in perception from the limit of physical, of world, of body, of ego. A shift from that to the abundance or infinity of spirit. You apply it to your stinking situation. There's a miracle waiting for you just to do that. But there's a miracle impulse, which is a call to love. That's what they all are. Now, as we read in page 425, the body is a great way to mess that up. The body is the perfect way. Get drunk on the body, get addicted to the body, get identified with the body, and you can block love nicely, conveniently, and prove it by just looking in a mirror. You wave your hand, it waves back. Still in the body. Perfect block to the invisible is something visible. So now, when you're ready, Walt, please continue. You might even start over after that little discussion. We're doing body busting here. We're busting the body.
Your distorted perceptions produce a dense cover over miracle impulses, making it hard for them to reach your own awareness. The confusion of miracle impulses with physical impulses is a major perceptual distortion. Physical impulses are misdirected miracle impulses. All real pleasure comes from doing God's will. This is because not doing it is a denial of self. Denial of self results in illusions, while correction of the error brings release from it.
And by the way, denial of self is another way of saying faithlessness. I'm not me. I'm not my capital S self. I'm something else. I really am not an extension of God. I really am this poor SOB in a body with about a quarter tank of gas sitting out there in my Toyota. That's what I really am. That is faithlessness. It's a way from the truth. It does not lead to happiness. Even though there are many ways to make it feel good for a while. That's why I'm here anyway. I've tried a lot of those things and I've gone beyond. My truth now has gone beyond. When you're ready, Walt.
Do not deceive yourself into believing that you can relate in peace to God or to your brothers with anything external.
Whoa! This seems kind of harsh, doesn't it? Oh. But then I did say that, you know, it's a psychological journey to a spiritual awakening. That means there's going to be some harsh sentences like that. That call you to the invisible, call you to awake.
So, you often say, never underestimate the power of the ego, and Masako flipped that on its head a few months back, and I think it resonates with like the call to true identity. She said, never underestimate the power of God. And I think that, you know, if you... It's reasonable to have the other. The ego is pretty frustrating, but I think
you know, the more that you can pay attention to, like, what you really have, what you really are.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the good news that correction of anything is not even... There's no correction of what anything you did in the past needed. Don't underestimate the power of God to be fully present now. And the truth is still true. Mm-hmm. Despite any blocks to it, the truth is still true. And completely unchanged. Yeah, it's really good news. That the truth... quality of the truth is it doesn't change. No matter what. Mm-hmm. That's what makes it the truth. Oh, thank goodness. I can do that math every single time. It comes out the same. This is really good news. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's good, Julie. Good, good, good. Let's read another one. Julie, you up for paragraph two? Okay.
Child of God, you were created to create the good, the beautiful, and the holy. Do not forget this. The love of God, for a little while, must still be expressed through one body to another, because vision is still so dim. You can use your body best to help you enlarge your perception so you can achieve real vision, of which the physical eye is incapable. Learning to do this is the body's only true usefulness.
Beautiful. And I think that's what got us all here tonight. Mm-hmm. We use the body, okay, because vision is so dim, we'll still use the body and the book and the light and the fact that we learn English and everything else to bring us toward the light. And it's really good for that. It's gentle. And for me, it's been a nice continuous up ramp, a nice continuous staircase with each step. Each time I press on this and lift myself up, I go. Yeah, I like that. Like that. Okay, let's get back to tonight, page 398 in the text. Okay, now we're on sentence 3. And it says, if then you see your brother as a body, you have established a condition in which uniting with him becomes impossible, which we just read on page 15. It says, wow, what a great way to not be, to try to sort of substitute union, which is actually invisible, with something visible that really doesn't quite mix. Great way to block it. Good. Yes. 4. Your faithlessness to him has separated you from him and kept you both apart from being healed. Your faithlessness has thus opposed the Holy Spirit's purpose and brought illusions centered on the body to stand between you. And the body will seem to be sick, for you've made of it an enemy of healing and the opposite of truth. So now, the body serving the ego, which includes everything you've known up until today, right? Everything you've trusted and believed in space and time anyway, about bodies, is serving sickness. Or another word for sickness is separation. Mm-hmm. Same. Of Course in Miracles, same. Another word for sin is separation, too, in the book. It's all the same level. It's all the same discussion. And all it is you are idolizing now separation. And the body is a way to idolize separate, alone, or sick is proof that it's broken. Proof that oneness is not. The body serving that purpose now, just like alcohol, if you're an alcoholic, serves to keep you away from awakenedness, sobriety, from being present, from being clear. It serves for that. And the more you do it, the more it serves. It can break up your relationships and no. Your body is now the car you're in the journey away from God. It's an analogy from the meditation. You get in your car, off you go. It's not a destination, but it is where you spend on your way Your body is now. We've turned the car around with A Course in Miracles. You're still in it, Julie. The same freaking car that got you so far from heaven, you're still sitting in it. But you know what's different now? Because we're using it now to get back home. To get back home. Mm-hmm. You know what? It mentions this in the back of the book, too. Go to Manual 18. The back of the book. There's almost nothing left when you get there. Manual for Teachers. Page 18. Okay. Tighten your seatbelt. Paragraph 3. Oh, you know what? We should probably do 2 and 3. Let's do 2 and 3. Just because it'll cover more of what we're studying tonight. John Paul, when you're ready, paragraph 2.
I'm lost right now.
Oh yeah, back of the book. Keep looking. There's only like an eighth of an inch.
Oh, starting on page 17?
Yeah, starting on page 18, actually.
18.
Paragraph 2.
Manual for Teachers.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
At the top of the page.
Yeah, you're probably in something or something. Yeah, get a look at the top of the page for Manual for Teachers.
Yeah. Okay.
You're running out of fingers there, too.
Yeah. Using my foot, my hands.
Oh, we could use feet? Feet
are my tongue there.
Didn't realize we could use the toes, too.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Okay, so 2, yeah?
Yeah, we should do 2 and 3, yeah.
The acceptance of sickness as a decision of the mind for a purpose for which it would be used, would use the body, is the basis of healing. And this is so for healing in all forms. A patient decides that this is so, and he recovers. If he decides against recovery, he will not be healed. Who is the physician? Only the mind of the patient himself. The outcome is what he decides, and that is it. That is, it is. Special agents seem to be ministering to him.
Like pills and doctors and so forth. Yep.
Yet they but give form to his own choice.
Mm-hmm.
He chooses them in order to bring tangible form to his desires. And it is this they do, and nothing else. They are not actually needed at all. The patient could merely rise up without their aid and say, I have no use for this. There is no form of sickness that would not be cured at once.
That's what we're studying tonight. Good. In this whole section. Now paragraph 3, which is why we came here. David. We'll come back to this later, by the way, that paragraph.
What is the single request?
Requisite.
Requisite for this shift in perception.
The shift in perception is a miracle, right? There it is spelled out.
Yeah.
What is the single requisite for this miracle? This miracle that says it's my mind and not the pills, the doctor, and my fate that would bring me healing, but my own mind. What does it take to have that miracle actually land as true? Please continue. Mm-hmm.
It is simply this: the recognition that sickness is of the mind and has nothing to do with the body. What does this recognition cost? It costs you the whole world, you see. For the world will never again appear to rule the mind.
Mm-hmm.
For with this recognition is a responsibility placed where it belongs. Not with the world, but on him who looks on the world and sees it as it is not.
Mm-hmm.
He looks on what he chooses to see. No more, no less. The world does nothing to him. He only thought it did. Nor does he do anything to the world. Because he was mistaken about what it is. Herein is the release from guilt and sickness both, for they are one. Yet to accept this release, the insignificance of the body must be an acceptable idea.
It must be an acceptable idea. The insignificance of the body must be an acceptable idea.
And that was Christ on the cross. His body was insignificant in that situation.
It has to be an acceptable idea. And then we can talk. And then we can move your mind to awareness of light. An acceptable idea of insignificance, of meaninglessness. The whole thing, the whole body, the whole thing, all its history, all its children, all its hopes, all its poems, and all of its artwork and its wonderful things, all of its ability to show you a beautiful sunset. Oh, you see the seagulls going across the sunset? Oh, I love it when that happens. All, everything. It's got to be acceptable insignificance of all of that. All of that beauty, as well as all of that bitter ugliness that only the body can serve up in such an ugly way.
Yeah, I feel like that's what we're kind of going that direction.
Yep.
Because it is, it feels a lot more insignificant than it otherwise. It's like, that's definitely happened.
That's it.
So that wasn't the pastor.
I know. Could not have been a day earlier. Yeah, but that's right. That's what.
Of course, when we get there, he'll have time.
That's right. It won't be an issue.
It won't be an issue. It's like, whoa, what time? What slowness? There.
Yeah, but that is absolutely the direction.
Yeah.
Because that is how the message can even be received. Is that the blocks to the awareness of love's presence are dropped. At least released for an instant. You don't have to completely deny the world and the body. That's not required. You don't have to commit somehow kind of suicide or something. That's not what we're talking about. No. It's in the mind. That this insignificance of the body is acceptable, that's really insignificant.
It's the perception of it.
Yeah, the understanding of it has to change. Because until you... Before this... The body is not only significant, it's your identity. No body, no you. That's before Course in Miracles. That's what you've come across. You've crossed that bridge now. All of us have. Cross that bridge. Really familiar with the other side. Spent a lot of time on the other side. But now that we've crossed the bridge, things are new. Boy, they feel good. Boy, they open.
It's curious how we love a face we've never actually seen.
Yeah, right.
Oh. Because we see a reflection, we see a photo, but you never actually see your own face.
Yeah.
It's never...
Yeah.
You don't know really if it exists.
It's a symbol.
Because a mirror is just reflecting.
It's the backwards face.
And you don't really know if it's your face is reflecting really. So it's like,
yeah, you got that zit on the wrong side anyway.
You love it. Yeah. You think that's you.
Yeah.
It's curious.
You know what the answer is? It's because... On the other side of the bridge, when true love is involved, there's not a seeing at all. It's now shifted to knowing. And do we love? We can only actually love what you know, not what you perceive.
Mm-hmm.
That's the ground of love. Okay. Okay, let's... Pretty cool, huh? We will come back to this. We will come back to this as we work on chapter 19, because you know it's so essential of you know the abuse of the body and the body as a block. But let's go back now to page 398 in the text.
We're on 399 now.
Now we're on 399. Thanks.
Whoa!
Did we turn the page?
In the same day.
But it's still the same day. We were on two pages at once now. That's how we rock in this meeting,
Mike,
huh?
Mike can handle that.
I don't know if I can handle it.
Yeah, I'm going to mess you guys up with all these numbers. We got 398 and 399. Yeah. That's a lot.
I'm dizzy.
Somebody stop him before he falls over.
I think got your back.
Boy, this is really going to blow you away because we're going to read paragraph 5. Woo! Too much, too fast.
You're up for reading, too.
Am I up?
Yeah.
Okay. Look, it cannot be difficult to realize that faith must be the opposite of faithlessness. If the difference in how they operate is less apparent, though it follows directly from the fundamental difference in what they are, the faithlessness would always limit an attack. Faith would remove all limitations and make whole. Faithlessness would destroy and separate. Faith would unite and heal. Faithlessness would interpose illusions between the Son of God and His Creator, whereas faith would remove all obstacles that seem to rise between them. Faithlessness is wholly dedicated to illusions, and faith wholly to truth. Partial dedication is impossible. See, truth is the absence of illusion. Illusion, the absence of truth. Both cannot be together, both cannot be together, nor perceived in the same place. To dedicate yourself to both is to set up a goal forever impossible to attain, for part of it sought through the body, thought of as a means for seeking out reality through attack. The other part would heal, and therefore calls upon the mind and not the body. So here we have the opposition, you know, the dichotomy of duality, plurality, or separation. The two sides of the coin. One denies the other. Okay? So, alright, so let's kind of skip through the meat of this. It's pretty self-explanatory. But let's look at, okay. Okay, faithlessness would destroy and separate. Faith would unite and heal. And it says that about 6 times. What we have is the essence of existence, okay? Of the essence of manifestation, all right? Can we go a little metaphysical here for a minute, okay? What we have here in this dichotomy, it's true for all dichotomies, it's given us separation, it's given us the universe, and it's exhibited right here in this play of words of uniting, right? Didn't it say it so many times? Faith unites, faithlessness would divide.
Destroy
even. That's how powerful the mind can be when applied. But it's one mind, right? So what we're talking about here is true in all of existence, and that is that you've got a plus and a minus. We've got the plus, the uniting power, the uniting hunger of faith. And then you've got the destroying capacity of faithlessness. That's the negative. It's just terms, right? As we get toward oneness, as our awakening comes about, we see the circle. And there really isn't a good and a bad. Right? And then all our spiritual awakenings and our enlightenment lead us to this understanding that the ideas of the judgment was needed because there was a bad that needed to be condemned. There was, in the ego world, and before Course in Miracles, before you did your spiritual journey, before you had any kind of awakenings, fear was your friend.
Mm-hmm.
You needed fear so that you could judge and keep yourself safe. And as we just read in page 425, you will identify with what you think will make you sick. And that's been the body up until now.
Yeah.
It was obvious. It was obvious. It's now not so obvious. Now what's going to make you safe is no longer the body, if you're doing your Course in Miracles right. It's love. What we need to do is remove the blocks to the awareness of love's presence, and then your safety will be known. And it says it's not going to take long. How many thoughts away is it, Michael? One single thought away. But nonetheless, we're like addicts. We're like fully addicted addicts to this body and this separation. Okay? And the world runs on the two possibilities. And in this case, I just call it positive and negative. It's probably the biggest, the highest, most neutral description I can come up with, I think, is probably positive and negative. But we could call it love and hate. We could call it up and down. All the aspects of duality and plurality. In this paragraph, we're using faith and faithlessness. Faithlessness allows sickness to be real and you to be a victim of it. Now, you means all of you, your happiness, your existence. Faith would take us back in the manual for teachers where we just came from. And it says, you know what? The key to your salvation, the key to your awakening, is this one little thought. The shift in perception of what you really are. It takes 1,300 pages even to describe this gently. But every once in a while it says it in black and white, just like that. But then, you know, it's now we understand why we call this a spiritual journey. It's just all these great spiritual pursuits are trying to hint at this idea, whether it's Buddha nature or Krishna consciousness or Christ-mindedness. But I'm telling you that right now what he's talking about is the metaphysics of existence, of the universe that you have made. And my word that I have chosen is manifestation. Manifestation. It is not the truth. This is not the truth. Life is invisible. And yet the body is our way to interpret life. And it works great for it. And as soon as you get your awakening on, and you get your Christ mind on, which is what the Course in Miracles calls enlightenment, now you can enjoy being in the world but not of the world anymore. Being of the world leaves you a victim to its limits. And you will feel them constantly and that will become your focus. But as your enlightenment comes on, you can still be in the world if you so choose, but you will no longer be of it, so you will be free.
And if I can just add this one thing too, what I found is that it's easier to receive direction. So it's no longer I have to think about what I'm doing. It's it's just this is what I'm doing. Take my hands. This is what you know. My thoughts. What I'm going to do. What I'm going to say.
Yes.
Who I'm going to say. I'm not thinking about who, what, when, and where.
Yes.
Just.
Oh, Michaeline, this is good. Yes.
That.
This is what in the Manual for Teachers. Trust is about.
Yeah. And it's surprising. It's surprising what happens when that happens.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Which has brought me closer to this work.
Yes.
Good. As a result.
Well, since Michaeline brought that up.
What?
Let's go read the Italics on page 28 after what you just said. And we'll close the meeting with that.
Page 28?
Yeah, page 28.
In the text?
In the text.
Oh, yeah. What? Paragraph 18? One?
Yes, it should be. I think it is paragraph 18. Mm-hmm. Italics in there. Yes. Paragraph 18. Michaeline said, man, it's amazing when I can get out of the way. And I can receive, I can actually take instruction now. The trust has come up. I'm able to move and do things that otherwise I've been really uncomfortable without knowing everything about everybody before. Now I can just move.
Right.
I can actually receive. I can receive. Yeah. Read this. Read this. Page 28
of the book. Under fear and conflict.
Yes. Yes.
You can do much on behalf of your own healing and that of others if in a situation calling for help, you think of it this way. I'm here only to be truly helpful. I'm here to represent him who sent me. I do not have to worry about what to say or what to do. I'm getting emotional. Because he who sent me will direct me. I'm content to be wherever he wishes, knowing he goes there with me. I will be healed as I let him teach me to heal.
You see that circle? I will be healed. I let him teach me to heal. I don't have to worry about what to say or what to do, because I'm here to represent him who sent me. And my full dedication is to be truly helpful, unlike the partially helpful, trying to be helpful, wanting to be helpful, or at least wanting to be happy before. Now I'm here to be truly helpful, whatever that means.
And it's a holy relationship.
It turns out.
It shifts the relationship completely.
Especially that part where it says, I am contented to be wherever he wishes, knowing he goes there with me. Even as I go into that ugly conversation with my special partner.
That's or it. Anyone, actually.
Or anyone. Yeah.
I mean, I'm learning that it's not just the special partner. It's like extending now to...
Yes.
Expanding, I guess, is the word.
Yes, so. Yes. But we're after a universal experience. It applies to everything. Yeah, beautiful, my friend. Good, thank you. Great way to end it. Let's have a circle. Which one?
That I am here to create.
You know, when Helen was hearing the voice and scribing this in between cigarettes, Bill had a big speech to give, and he was really nervous. He was really uncomfortable about facing the faculty in this big speech and everything. The voice came through and said, Helen, won't you write this down and give it to Bill? And that's what that paragraph is what she handed him.
That paragraph?
That paragraph.
That's beautiful.
Wow. So it's thank you. And it allowed him to get centered and give his speech. Okay, take a deep breath. So you have commanded your body. It's really obvious then that you've commanded your body. Nobody else reached in and made you breathe or take that bit. No, you did that. It's a symbol. You taking that breath, you commanding your body, is a symbol of your power that we're using right now. You had answer the call. If you would answer the call of our challenge tonight, we read so many different ways about faith and faithlessness. Faithlessness says you're a victim. Doesn't it? Mm-hmm. That's another way to say it, isn't it?
It does.
If you are a victim, then you are alone, you're powerless, and you're stuck in a body, and whatever it says you will do, and that's it. It will command you. And if you choose to have that thought, it will come true because of what you are. How powerful you are. Sure. Mm-hmm. Course in Miracles is a way to stop that line of thinking, what it calls the descent into hell. We can stop, and we do it very specifically with a shift in identity. The idea of the insignificance of the body has to be acceptable. Take it into meditation. Get personal with it. And find what freedom awaits for you right there in a holy instant. Thank you, thank you. Amen.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, group.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Isn't that different from the previous chapter?
Yeah.
We won't hold you to it. You're like totally able to. I'm in normal shoes.